Blog Talk Radio.
Warning, the following content is inappropriate. Well, we told you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The War Room with your host, as always, Mega! And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the moment you've all been waiting for, here he is, the man that we love to welcome into this show, this is Travis Valhar!
Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to the room where we make war.
How about that for an intro? You always love that, don't you?
It is. It's one of my favorite songs, actually. And it's kind of a little sucky that they don't have the original singer anymore, but this guy's really stepped up for them. I like it.
Yep. You got to have that feel to it. Once again, this is The War Room with Vega and Falhark, as always. Now, let's dive into it. Monday Night Raw, what do you think of that episode?
Overall, it's not really anything that's going to stand out. You know, it's not like it's going to be Raw after WrestleMania. It's never going to be like that after the Royal Rumble. But we've got another match confirmed for Mania, and we had a strong debut too. So for that, I have to give Raw at least some big points there, because they had an impactful ending.
I wasn't expecting it, honestly. I did not see the debut of Samoa Joe coming for Raw. I thought he was going to be on SmackDown, but you know,
I still think he should be on SmackDown, but that's for another time.
Yeah, I agree. He should be on SmackDown, but yeah, I'll agree with that. But you got to admit, what a way to bring him in as Triple H's hired assassin for Rollins. Well, what a way to bring
him in. Yeah, it was brilliantly done. And, you know, honestly, when you think about it, they were kind of dropping hints at you the entire time. The biggest hint that I have to say that I didn't realize it until actually the next day, and I was actually at the gym and decided to get on YouTube and get some wrestling theme music blasted in my ears. I looked up Samoa Joe's theme song, and Samoa Joe's theme is called Destroyer. And Triple H has been talking about a creator and a destroyer. And even Samoa Joe changed his tag on Twitter to the Destroyer. So they were kind of dropping hints at you the whole time when you think about it. And it was like, yeah, still didn't expect it to come out that way, but it was very good. I actually love the fact that they threw him right in with a big story right off the bat.
Well, yeah, that was probably the great way to bring him in, but now we have a huge problem because Seth Rollins tore his MCL and he's out for 8 weeks.
Well, I don't know where you heard the MCL one, because I have yet to read it. I've yet to see it. They were just examining him yesterday. They don't have
it
any
was on,
solid results.
It was
yet.
On Yahoo today. They said he is out 8 weeks. WWE is finding out that his WrestleMania status is now uncertain at this point, because now it threw a huge wrench in the plans. Triple H wants to wrestle because it's in Orlando, the Performance Center, NXT, and he's so adamant about being on that show. What would they do for him if Seth Rollins is unable to make WrestleMania? But I did the math for the timeline, and if he were to come back at exactly 8 weeks, it would be the Mania go-home show.
Well, and that's why, if I recall, you and I talked about this slightly off air yesterday. It was a 6 to 8 week prognosis. Seth Rollins, he's very agile. He's built very well. So it's very reasonable that he can make it in 6 weeks. Hell, I'd be the guy to bet that he could probably do it in 4 or 5. So it's not like that it's necessarily a stretch to say that he can make 8 weeks. This guy's pretty agile, and honestly, I think he could be back up sooner than 8 weeks. So they still could build a good story with Rollins and Triple H. You know, film some vignettes while he's out or something like that, just promos or whatever, and have them go back and forth. You still got a lot of time between now and then, and you can still do some impactful stuff leading up to it to where you could still get the match that you're trying to build for.
Yeah, and it looked like to me that Seth Rollins would have been going against Samoa Joe at Fastlane.
Right,
but
right. That's okay.
I mean, I would have loved to see that, but who's to say that we don't get a double, like do a Daniel Bryan. If Seth Rollins can beat Samoa Joe at WrestleMania, then he can get Triple H later that night. I mean, that storyline could play in so many ways, but I would love to see. It's like he really wants his hands on Triple H. Throw an obstacle in his way. Make him fight Joe, and then if he beats Joe, he gets Triple H. What would you think about that?
Like you said, it's WrestleMania 30 revisited with Daniel Bryan, which I still have my theories and hopes going into WrestleMania when it comes to Daniel Bryan as well. Again, for another story, another time. But I don't know if I would necessarily hate it. I mean, it's definitely an easy route that you can take. I'm like you. I wish we could see it at Fastlane with the way it looks right now, there's still people doubting the legitimacy of his injury, but I have yet to see one site that says that he's playing it, that it's fake or whatever, because quite frankly, if it is...
Well, if you look at his Twitter, he opens up and says... Yeah, it says it's real. He's not playing anybody. This is a real legitimate injury.
I know, but you still have those ignorant people that think it is. You know, I'm not doubting it. You know, I'm not saying that he's not really injured or whatever the case may be. I'm saying that there are people that still think that out there. And I'm telling you, if that was the case, then WWE has pulled off probably the greatest blur of line between reality and fiction, because that would be, to me, that would be their greatest pull that they've ever done, in my opinion. But that's if it was fake. I don't believe it's fake at all. So,
but rightfully so. Anything else you'd like to cover about Raw before we move into SmackDown? I mean, Raw had its highlights. We got a huge tease with Sasha Banks maybe turning heel.
We've seen it. You know, we know she can do it. She'll rock it. She'll be better at it than she is a face right now. Just my opinion there on that as well. I'm ready to get to SmackDown. We got a lot of stuff on SmackDown to cover.
Or as I like to say, the Night of Chaos.
Night of Chaos.
Oh, it was chaotic.
Way?
I mean, in what way? You had a huge blowout with all the tag teams, like American Alpha having their open challenge, and it erupts into total chaos. Well, now we're going to have a tag team turmoil at Elimination Chamber because of the actions of that.
Cool. What's wrong with that?
I think it's awesome. I mean, they really set the card.
Oh, well, you were making it sound like you didn't like it. You were making
it.
You didn't enjoy it.
No, I love it. I think it's awesome that we're getting a tag team turmoil, but I mean,
okay.
I would have loved to see. I mean, I'd like to actually see that in an Elimination Chamber.
I mean, we are. That's where I heard it's taking place. Is they're going to do the turmoil of the chamber.
No, I'm like in the actual structure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would like that too. Me personally, yeah, I'd love to see them do that again, because I think they've already done that once before. If I recall, it was a little bit of a flop, though, because it was so many guys, and that chamber, even though it's a huge chamber, it's ever only as so big as it can be. I don't know if it could we know it can house 12 guys, but not comfortably, you know, no pun intended there, but seriously, I don't think that's why we've seen another tag team elimination chamber match, because it's too chaotic, as you were saying. It's not worth it. So I'm okay with the one chamber match. To me, it makes the chamber even more special instead of using it more than once. Turmoil is cool. Tag team turmoils are cool. So I don't have an issue with it being outside the chamber.
Well, I definitely agree with that. Anyway, moving on. What was your thoughts on the show? I thought it was absolutely phenomenal.
I thought it was great. You know, I don't see how people are still tagging Raw as an A show. It is. It's not a bad show, but it's definitely not the better show. Granted, SmackDown has its rough edges, you know, but that's not any edges that are necessarily detrimental. They're just a little lagging. You had at least three incredible spots in that entire show. The opening sequence with John Cena and his speech about getting the 16th title reign, that was great. That led into the first match, which the fans were really into, which is, you know, Wyatt Norton against Harper and Cena. You know, the very ending of the night, which was the Dean Ambrose Styles match, got a great ovation. And then I actually think the women's segment wasn't too bad either. That had a highlight point in and of itself for the storytellings that are going on there. So they had three pretty solid segments. You know, the Ziggler Kalisto match was okay. Yeah, you know, it's whatever. I know out there trying to build a Cruz and Ziggler, which I think would be an absolutely great affair to happen. The story's just not really picking up a whole lot of momentum. So that's hard for them to overcome. Miz was great as always. Miz on commentary is gold anyway. So, and he's the best heel on SmackDown of this moment in time. So I like the participants they've got in the chamber. I think we're going to have a pretty good elimination chamber.
All right. Well, anyway, looking at the future of the elimination chamber, I mean, let's preview the matches so far. I mean, we have the elimination chamber with Cena, Styles, Baron Corbin, Dean Ambrose, The Miz,
mm-hmm.
and Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
Who do you think's going to win that? That
Bray Wyatt.
I think if they want to do it smart, here's how I would book this. I would have Wyatt win it with Orton's help, and then at the end, as he's celebrating, Orton turns on him and says, you know, I made up my mind. I'm going for you.
I mean, I can see that going, but I think he's pretty much already selected John Cena as it is. I know he hasn't, like, done the, like, back in the brand split, original brand split days where once they had the two titles, then, you know, it was a big deal on which title you chose. I don't think there being that emphasis on that fact this year. I think it's just pretty cut and dry. You know, Orton's going to go for the WWE title and whoever has it. He just kind of made that a little clear. Well, at least for me, he made it clear. Maybe not to the casual viewer, but I don't see him going after the Universal title.
I mean, yeah, I don't see him going for the Raw title, but I mean, we saw at the Rumble the implosion of the Wyatt family.
Sure.
Which makes me believe that there's going to be a second coming of an implosion, and it'll probably happen at the Chamber if they put the title on Bray.
I mean,
as Cena's plans are unknown.
Well, I mean, there's already rumor floating around that Bray Wyatt is set to win it. They want it to be Wyatt versus Orton, which, I mean, I'm 100% okay with that, as opposed to Cena and Orton Part 20. I don't want to see it again.
Yeah,
I
agree. Yeah, I really don't want to see another Cena versus Orton match, but Orton versus Wyatt is already a lock for WrestleMania.
So then there you go. The title just makes it that much better. Right now, the only real match that I'm not excited about heading into this Mania season is what they're doing with AJ Styles. And I know we'll probably discuss this at a later show, especially once it gets closer to the WrestleMania event after Chamber and Fastlane. But seriously, I don't like the rumored opponent for AJ Styles already.
I don't want to see Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles. It's just something you do
no,
not...
No, It doesn't need to happen.
If you're going
the reason,
to, if you're going to book
the
Styles,
reason why
I would book
kill
them
Styles,
against Ambrose.
It'll no, no, absolutely not. Neither one of them. Neither one of them. Shane doesn't need to have another match. It doesn't need to have it with Styles. Styles is white freaking hot right now. You know, you do not kill this dude's momentum by putting him up against Shane. That's no offense to Shane because I like Shane McMahon. I love Shane McMahon. But him and Styles, they're not going to have a five-star classic. Styles needs to have a five-star classic match at Mania just within this year. Him and Jericho wasn't bad. I was there. I saw it live. It wasn't bad. It was good. But I never was a big fan of the Styles-Jericho feud at the beginning of last year. Wasn't at all. Styles needs to have a big match, and Shane McMahon is not a big match. Dean Ambrose ain't either.
I agree, but if you're going to give Styles the momentum, my only thing with Ambrose was to give AJ a title match.
No, if he's
going
to be in a title match, put him in the WWE title match. That's
yeah,
the only title he should be in.
But like I said, the whole Shane McMahon, AJ Styles hasn't come into fruition yet. I think we're probably going to be talking about this at a later date. Anyway,
sure.
Going on with, yeah, I mean, I will agree with you. The Miz is probably one of the hottest gimmicks on SmackDown right now. I mean, it's just golden.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love The Miz. I mean, I wish his IC title run would have gone longer.
I mean, it's all right. It's not that big a deal. I thought it was dumb that his first title reign, when he was when he could have really started putting those little stickers that he originally was doing on his second run. I actually thought that was a pretty ingenious idea, and I was like, man, why didn't they have him do that on his first title run? Because I know he ain't about to go on a 2-year title reign with this thing. It's not about to happen. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, he drops it to Ambrose. I'm like, I knew that was coming. So they should have done that on the first reign because I thought that was brilliant. Miz is great. I've liked Miz from freaking day one when he busted out on his own. And dude needs to be in a bigger spotlight. And I honestly think I'm the guy that thinks Daniel Bryan's getting one last match. And I think they're going to do that as a favor to him. And I think it'll be Bryan versus Miz at WrestleMania. Still,
they need to do it. Rightfully so. They need to do that match.
That match right there will sell out Orlando. I'm telling you now. Not, I don't care if you've got Lesnar and Goldberg, which is what I was alluding to earlier, that we got a confirmed WrestleMania match. Another one, I should say. That will be an attraction. But the match people will want to see is Daniel Bryan. If he gets announced.
Yes, everybody wants to see Bryan.
Yeah, and to me, they get away with this. And I say that because, A, Daniel Bryan wants to wrestle, and B, he's been cleared by other medical personnel. Let's point that out. WWE is the only medical personnel that has yet to clear him. But every other doctor he's gone to has cleared this man to compete. You gave him one of the most emotional retirement segments that I've ever seen in WWE, period. And you basically kind of took away his chance to get back in the ring, and he was all well-intending on getting back in. Give the guy just one match.
Rightfully so. He deserves to have it. But the only reason they're not going to clear him is because of the bullcrap with the concussion lawsuit.
I mean, I understand that. But you can still easily turn this into a positive thing because – We already know. He's been cleared before. He's been begging to wrestle again. I can totally see them pulling a Mick Foley out of this one and giving him that one last match, literally giving him that, in my eyes at least, the rightfully one last match that he deserves that he didn't get. He didn't expect to have to retire, but I think he is well enough to where he can have one more match, and they've been playing it up that Miz is a safe wrestler because that's what Bryan's opinion is of him. So why not have him work with one of the safest guys you've got on your roster? It totally makes sense.
rightfully so. I mean, Mania, Mania is looking to turn into a great card, Yeah, it can be a great card if they play it right. But we're gonna move on from this, and we'll go back to it. But my problem is this: there's another rumor I'm hearing that Goldberg is facing Kevin Owens for the Universal title at Fastlane, and Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg is going to be for the Universal title. I don't even like that idea.
Well,
I have a love-hate. Explain this so that you understand why. It's going to be a second, so bear with me. The love that I have for this is that this, to me, gives the Universal title credibility. Some people will already argue that the Universal title has credibility because of the two guys that have worn it. Finn Balor is no doubt about to become a huge star when he comes back. Kevin Owens is a phenomenal heel and has done an excellent job with his title reign. However, what both these guys lack still in WWE standards, and I want to stress that, in WWE standards, they both still lack a actual credibility as being a huge star on the main roster. They don't have that right now. That's not to say that they're not going to or that they don't have that potential to be there by the end of this year. But right now, that's not the case. Goldberg is your Universal Champion. Everybody already knows. Arn Anderson said it best. Goldberg was as hot as anybody that this business has ever seen. Flair, Hogan, Rock, Austin, you name them, he was there. Okay? Putting the title on him automatically adds that legendary credibility because he is a legend. Granted, I'm not necessarily still a huge fan of the idea because that's where the hate comes in with it. And it's that the fact that you don't need to put the Universal title on Goldberg because to me, that's just adding a little piece to the Goldberg-Lesnar match that you don't need. Goldberg-Lesnar is already going to sell itself. You don't need to put a title in that match. And that would be the only reason they put the title on Goldberg. And that doesn't need to be the case. So I don't know. I'm 50-50 with this.
Yeah, that's why I wanted your opinion on this, because I don't even know what to think if they were to do this. But my thing is, I mean, I'll explain my side of this. This is why I hate it. You have two part-timers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect Goldberg to appear more if he
was
Universal Champion? It's just my thing that if you're going to put two part-timers for the Universal title, that means the Universal title is barely going to be used. And who would defeat Goldberg? Who would do it?
Yeah.
It would just be pointless to make that the Universal title match because you got two of the most strongest athletes WWE's ever had, the most aggressive athletes. Who would even beat them? Just my problem with it. So you're going to make them look like shit when they lose it.
Yeah, and I get that.
That's my only problem.
Yeah, totally get it. And I understand that because that was part of my thought there too, was the fact that it's two part-timers. We've already seen what happens when you put the main title on a part-timer. They've done it twice. Granted, one was shorter than the other, but when The Rock was champion, which this is a re-scenario of that, FYI, because this is what happened with Punk and Rock in 2013. And what should have been a triple threat match ended up still just being Rock and Cena 2 that we didn't need to have. But again, this is the same scenario. The Rock had the title. Granted, he showed up to a few more, especially I think he was there almost for the entire month of March in the final month leading up to WrestleMania. So that I give him 100% of credit for. And that only lasted about 2 to 3 months. So that wasn't bad. But Brock Lesnar was champion for nearly a year. And to me, that's what made Raw suck horribly because you took away the main title. You can't do that. I don't even care if putting it on Brock Lesnar made it more credible because he's a former UFC champion. I don't care. This isn't MMA.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Anyway, moving on to NXT, I mean, we saw what's about to happen, and my prediction is going to come true with exactly how I knew NXT would play out after TakeOver San Antonio. Ember Moon is calling out Asuka.
I just saw it coming from a mile away. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and it should be. I like it.
Yeah, I like that as well. But now the thing is, going into question, I have found out that TM61 is no longer in the picture, tag team picture, to where it's like I thought the Revival was going to be called up, but now I'm having second thoughts about that because you're only going to have three tag teams. Well, I see two tag teams. It would just be centered on the Authors of Pain and hashtag DIY, which the problem with that is you need more tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't see a necessity for the Revival to be called up at any given moment.
Not right now. No, not right now. And I'm right there with you with that. That makes 100% sense. I'm just happy on another NXT note that we are now in the glorious era of the NXT. I'm a Bobby Roode fan, been a Bobby Roode fan for years. Glad to see him as NXT champion. But honestly, to me, with all the stories of the seeds being planted to come here later, to me, NXT was not really about the wrestling show. It was about, to me, the best part of this week's episode was the tribute to Corey Graves. I have a number of reasons that I would love to say why, but I know we don't have very much time left. But a quick rendition of that was, I can't help, I was a fan of his when he was an in-ring performer. I was disappointed when he had to retire, but I was ecstatic to hear that he was still going to be around and he was going to be part of the commentary team. That was like 2 or 3 years ago, and now he's, to me, the best color commentator in wrestling at this current moment, just my opinion only. And to me, at the end of his career, when it's all said and done, he will be put on the same pedestal as what Bobby the Brain Heenan was to color commentary and to what Jerry the King Lawler is to color commentary. He'll be there at the end of his career. Guarantee it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Nigel McGuinness replacing Corey Graves was probably the best thing I've heard. And with Shinsuke's injury, I don't know how legitimate it is. It's probably a work to set up the rematch, but
yeah,
I think
which is okay.
But now you have unfinished business because Cassius Ohno has made it clear that he wants it. Could we
sure.
see Cassius and Bobby Roode at TakeOver Orlando, or could we see Bobby Roode Nakamura? Could we see Bobby
yeah.
Roode, Nakamura, and Cassius Ohno? I mean, it's
no,
just like
yet.
Now it's a toss-up. Because it's like Cassius Ohno is back, but we don't know what his plans are going to be for this, which means, I mean, next week we'll have a lot to talk about NXT because we will have a phenomenal celebration. And you know what that celebration is going to be?
No, it's glorious.
You ready for this?
The glorious celebration. Next week.
Sorry, I just had to do that.
I'm okay with that.
I had to because we're going to have a glorious celebration. And folks, that has been our show. We hope you join us next week. We cover everything. We cover Raw. We cover SmackDown. We cover NXT. I hope we can cover 205 Live, but there really wasn't anything to cover. Warning, this podcast is inappropriate. We told you. Good night.